Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for watching, listening, sharing the podcast. We're going to talk about training godly warriors today. There's a brand new book out with that title. Christians often quote Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But the question is, what does that training look like? So that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode of Worldview Matters. Before we do that, though, we've got some business to take care of. We are in season number 3 of producing Worldview Matters podcast. Praise God, because you never know how things are going to go when you start something new. But to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil and doing all the things we do here to try to equip the body of Christ and sometimes challenge believers, we depend on your prayers and those who are able to donate financially. That's what keeps us going. So right now, our campaign for our third fundraiser, we'd love for you to consider a tax-deductible gift of $200, for example, or a monthly. A lot of people give monthly, $25 a month. We've got a brand new stainless steel tumbler we'd love to send you. It's got Worldview Matters on one side. And the other side, my tagline, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. So the website, worldviewmatters.tv. Thank you for your prayers and your support. So whatever you can do there. Now, I want to just thank some friends who have been giving. These might be monthly donors. Mike from Oshkosh, Nina from Charlottesville, Virginia, Mari. I think I mentioned you last time, but I'm going to give you another shout out, Mari. Beaumont, Texas. Jill from Boulder City, Nevada. Kathleen from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Alan from Kent, Washington. Tony and Michelle from Lake Villa, Illinois. Tim Burr. Okay, I got to get your last name in there because I love it. From Green Bay. Paula from Appleton. Stephen from Simi Valley, California. Michael from San Diego. John and Lizzie from Kewanee, Wisconsin. And Joanne from Columbus, Ohio. Thank you guys so much. More to come, hopefully, as we'll be doing this for a couple of weeks. So I want to bring in today's guest. The website is traininggodlywarriors.com, traininggodlywarriors.com. Kelsey Studebaker is a former Christian school teacher turned homeschool mom of 7 little blessings. Warriors in training, she calls them, ages 2 to 13. Kelsey has another website called teachergems.com. She also has written articles for Old Schoolhouse magazine and has been a guest blogger on several websites, including Minds in Bloom and Move It Christian and more. And she's on Facebook. You can connect with her there. And her brand new book and workbook, The Companion Resource. There's so much that has gone into this, so that I'm going to ask her about training godly warriors. Such an important topic, knowing that children walk away from the faith if they're raising the Christian faith. They start doubting by the time they're in middle school. So by the time they're in high school, they're gone. Used to be after 1 year in college. Well, not anymore. They start leaving sooner now. We're trying to prevent that, and people like Kelsey is doing something about it with Training Godly Warriors, the book. Kelsey, good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so appreciate you not only doing the book, but the workbook, so people can practically work through this. And you've got a lot of great ideas for application. So let's start with the first question. There's a lot that went into this. I've written books, and I know how much it takes. And just looking at some of the content, how long did it? When did you start writing? Is this years of gathering things from homeschooling and trying to raise your kids up and discipling your kids? Tell us about that process first.
So I actually didn't have a plan to write a book. It was a few years ago, 3 years ago, where I felt the Lord prompting me to host a homeschool mom's retreat. And when I volunteered to do that, I thought I better pray about what, encouraging, inspirational message the Lord would have me share with the moms. And so I started praying about it. And then one morning, as I was reading my Bible, I came across Psalm 78. And in this psalm, Asaph is the writer, and he's one of the Levites assigned by David to be a temple musician. And he's giving a plea to the Israelites, and he says, oh, my people, listen, open your ears to what I'm about to say to you. He says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of our Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. But then he goes on to tell them how their ancestors had failed to do that and the consequences of their failure. They lost their fear of the Lord. They began to continually sin against him. And it wasn't until the Lord began killing them that they finally repented. But then it says in verse 36 that all they gave him was lip service and their hearts were not loyal to him. And so reading those words really pierced my heart and made me long for my own children, seven precious children, to avoid the superficial faith. And so I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, how do we train our children to be godly warriors who don't just know the right things to say, but who actively live out their faith in the way that brings you glory? And it was in that moment that I felt the Holy Spirit say, that is what I want you to teach the moms. And so I ended up sharing this with the moms. And long story short, I wrote this book after they encouraged me to share it with others.
Well, I'm just going to flip right quick over to page 147. There's so many great quotes, so many excerpts that you highlight throughout the book. And there's just this tells you a lot about you and about the book. It says, godly warriors must read and obey God's word and be careful to develop a keen sense of awareness through critical thinking skills, discernment, and apologetics. So like you said, not just be able to have certain responses that are canned, maybe like we grow up, you know, why do you believe the Bible? Because, or why do you think the Bible is true or whatever? Why do you believe God? Because the Bible says so. That's it. You know, we don't have a lot more that goes deeper than that, but you're going a lot deeper in the book. Before we get more into some questions specifically about the book and the workbook, Kelsey, I think you've got a very important story that maybe a lot of viewers and listeners cannot maybe relate to, in the strength and the Christian support you had in your family growing up. Talk to us about your parents, and I know you'd like to share. I'd like you to share about your grandmother's influence on you.
Yes. So I have been very blessed in my life with some very strong, godly warrior role models. And starting with my grandmother, who died when I was only 12, but whose impact on my life has lasted all these years. She was such a strong Christian. She would share the gospel with anyone she met. She just exuded a love for Jesus. She never shied away from tough discussions, but she always did it with gentleness and love. And so that has just really impacted me. And then also my dad is the epitome of a godly warrior. He reminds me a lot of Philip, the evangelist in Acts 8, when the Holy Spirit comes to him and he says, go and walk alongside this carriage so that he could witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says that Philip ran to go and share with him. And so he didn't hesitate to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. And I feel like my dad is, that just explains him to the T. He will, if he sees a need, he just runs to go and meet it. My mom as well, they're always serving others. They are opening their home to others. We always had people living with us growing up. They have such servant hearts and they love to share the gospel. My dad hosts weekly Bible studies. So yes, they've had a huge impact on my life for sure.
Well, I want to include the subtitle, which is just as important, I think, as the title. I'm not sure if maybe I did share it, but it's Training Godly Warriors. The subtitle is How to Take Your Children Through Spiritual Basic Training. And I like the way you used military information and concepts and training. And where did you get that idea to put into this? Were you totally in the warrior soldier, mindset when you did that?
So when I cried out to the Lord and said, how do we train our children to be godly warriors? And he said, like, that's what I want you to teach the moms. I thought, okay, well, I don't know anything about being a warrior. I've never been in the military. And so my natural thought was, well, what does the military do? And so I started studying the military's basic training and quickly found that many of the underlying principles could be applied to a spiritual basic training. And I've also blessed to have a brother-in-law who was in the Special Forces of the Marine Corps. So he was a great sounding board for me as I wrote this book as well.
I'm looking at something on page 26. This is really interesting to me that you would put this in here, and I want you to just explain why. I think I know, but you've got lenses to view the world. You've got three different lenses. You've got types of worldviews. You've got a biblical worldview. You've got a partial biblical, partial secular worldview, which is really, I think, probably a large part of the church in America, sadly. And then you've got a non-biblical worldview or secular worldview with no lenses. But I'd love for you to explain why you decided to put that in there, especially, you know, kind of pointing out that this is a problem with some people, maybe one foot in the Bible, one foot in the world, the secular world. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to simplify things for my children. I know there is a plethora of worldviews out there, but I think they can all fall into one of these three categories. Either we have a biblical worldview where we believe the entire Bible is God's absolute truth, or we may have a partial biblical, partial secular, where we believe some parts of the Bible are true, but not all. Yeah. You know, we kind of pick and choose what we like, which is probably the most dangerous one to have. Yeah. Or we have no biblical worldview. And so I use this, the example of abortion with my children when I'm teaching this and say, you know, we believe that abortion is murder because we see everything through the lens of Scripture. And we know from God's word that we are destroying a human life created in His image. Whereas those who are missing their biblical lenses do not think abortion is murder. They just view the baby as a clump of cells that can be destroyed without much thought. And because their biblical lenses are missing, they lack a fear of the Lord that tells them they're destroying an innocent human being created in God's image. Hmm. And so I think just simplifying it for our children, but also showing them the importance of having those biblical lenses.
By the way, the middle one, you might want to call it cafeteria Christianity. You know, you kind of go through the cafeteria line, pick a little bit of this, maybe a little bit of that. Oh, my goodness. So I know I'm jumping around quite a bit, but as I was flipping through the book, there's just things that stood out to me. This is one of the challenging things. I had a pastor when I lived in Southern California at Calvary Chapel, Bob Kopany, I think that was his name. And he would always say, he was a former police officer, became a pastor. So he kind of had that strict, you know, discipline, like military-like background and training. And he was a no Bible, no breakfast guy. And so on page 63, you've got this simple encouragement, Bible before breakfast. You really focus on, yes, you're talking about training children up, but you're also helping moms or dads. Usually it's the mom who is at home with the children going through this kind of book and helping them. So that's a very important priority to say, okay, Word of God, we feed on the Word of God before we feed our bodies food. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, I got that from Ray Comfort. He always says Bible before breakfast, and I love that.
And that's hard.
It's just so it is. But it's
good
so important that we feed ourselves spiritually before we feed ourselves physically. Paul talks about that too. And just the importance of getting in the Word daily. And then also, like you mentioned, modeling it for our children. There is a professor, Christian Smith, who's a professor of sociology at the University of Notre Dame. And he conducted a 16-year study following 3,000 adolescents children from adolescence through adulthood. And he found that the number one reason why some children stay in the faith that they were brought up in is because of the impact of their parents leading by example. And so it's just so important that we are in the Word daily. Our children can see through hypocrisy. And so we want to be genuine in our own faith. And we can't train our children to be godly warriors if we're not being an example of a godly warrior ourselves. So I just think it's so important getting in the Word daily and modeling that for our children as well.
Amen. And another thing you model is evangelism. So when we come back, we're going to take a very brief pause. We're with Kelsey Studebaker. When we come back, we're going to talk about sharing the gospel and how she's got practical steps that you can actually help your kids do some role playing. I'll have her walk us through that when we come right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we will let you know as soon as the registration is up and the website is up for the conference, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting and great benefit to the body of Christ locally and regionally. So, Kelsey, and I do want to get to the workbook. So anytime you want to transition or add something from the workbook, please do. But I'm going over to chapter 9, simulations, and on page 194, a great little chart there with six steps on sharing the gospel. So walk through that. I think that's so important to raise God or train godly warriors to share the gospel.
Yes. So just helping our children to learn how to share the gospel, first and foremost, we can do role-playing with them where we play the part of the skeptic as they share the gospel with
That's
us.
Good.
And then we can help them, you know, adjust their approach and also like set them up for rejection as well, because we are going to have to deal with rejection at times. And so helping them learn to be able to handle that is important as well. And then we just... one thing we like to do is we like to carry gospel tracts with us, and we will even bring little booklets to, you know, the dentist office and set a booklet on the table. And it's just a simple way to share the gospel. We don't even have to talk to anybody. We can just leave it there as a simple way to like start getting in the habit of always being prepared with an answer, always coming prepared with a gospel tract. It's also a great icebreaker for conversations. So I like to carry, the Living Waters YouTube channel, a little card with me, and I will go up to people and say, hey, do you like YouTube? Check out this channel. It's my favorite. And everybody loves YouTube, so they always take it, and they're, you know, it's just a little way to help our children to break the ice in conversations and get that conversation started.
So at the end of each chapter, you've got questions, you know, to think about, to review the chapter and kind of apply some practical things. Now, I love that idea, by the way, that's very important. So how is that different maybe from the workbook?
Yeah. So at the end of each chapter, there are questions to help you to come up with a strategic plan to be able to immediately implement with your children from the things that you've learned in each chapter. The workbook is activity pages for students, for children to do with their parents. It's a 30-day spiritual basic training unit study. So I give you ideas for each day, and then there's activity pages to go along with it. And so this is geared towards, the homeschool family I had in mind when I created this. So I tried to differentiate it for a variety of ages. So it's probably about grades 1 to 5. And just different activity pages to help your children learn the principles that were conveyed in the book.
There's a lot in there. I mean, my goodness, and all the sections. So I don't remember if you shared how long it took for you to do both the book and the workbook. Did you answer that at the very beginning?
3 years. It took me three years.
Wow.
But I'm busy. I'm a busy mom. I have 7 children, so
okay.
I only did it when I had time, you know.
So there's moms out there with maybe 1 or 2 young kids going, geez, way to put the pressure on. Way to raise the bar, Kelsey, bar of expectations. So let's wrap up maybe the book, and then I'll jump over to the workbook for the last couple questions. Chapter 11, tell us about advanced weapons training. What's that about?
So in this chapter, we explore the gifts of the Spirit and how we can use the gifts that God has given us in alignment with His Word while being led by the Holy Spirit to have the most impact for the kingdom.
Awesome. Gifts of the Spirit. They're often ignored. You know, there's that debate. Are they still working today? We all have different gifts, talents. So I appreciate you putting that in there. And the companion resource now, the workbook, like I said, a 30-day spiritual basic training unit. Just looking at the questions, looking at the charts, the armor of God, just different things you put in there. What does each commandment say? Again, friends, this is for younger children. But Kelsey, this is really a good thing for parents, especially moms, homeschool moms, or any mom that wants to take their kids through this kind of training, spiritual training. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I wanted to keep it simple and practical, because I think a lot of times we get the spiritual, you know, do this, do that, but how do we do it? And so I wanted to give all the tools necessary to start this. And it's basic training, so it's the first step. So it's not like do this and you're going to be good. No, it's the first step in training our children. And so, even if I could just share one example, there's one page I talk about the idea of meditating on God's word and how this word meditation has been redefined by our world to be emptying our minds. When God's word says just the opposite, he says we need to fill our minds with his word and meditating on his word day and night. And I like to use the analogy, the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 12, where he talks about the man that had the unclean spirit and how when that spirit was cast out, he came back with seven more evil spirits. And when he came back, he found that the home had been emptied, swept clean, and put in order. And so I say to my kids, well, what was wrong with that? Doesn't it sound like he cleaned up his life? He got rid of the filth? But then I remind them that to be empty is to be vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Just like if a field's left empty, it's soon overtaken by weeds, or a home left empty is soon overtaken by insects. And if we are empty, we're vulnerable. So then I ask my kids, what should the man have done instead or after he had emptied his home of this filth? Well, he should have repented of allowing that filth in his life in the first place. He should have put his trust in Jesus, and he should have filled his mind with God's word. And that way, when the enemy came back, he would find that the home was no longer vacant, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And he would now have the sword of the Spirit to fight off the enemy when he came back. And so just practical things like that that we can teach our children to show them the importance of scripture and meditating on the word daily. And then also not allowing the devil with his tactics of redefining words to trip them up.
Yes, redefining words. He's evil, scheming. He's really good at that, and the left does are really good at redefining words. I wrote a book about that, 2017, called "Redefining Truth." Anyway, didn't mean to give myself a plug there, but it came up. Kelsey, you're a former Christian teacher. Tell us about what you do on the website, or what is at teachergems.com. I know I mentioned it at the very beginning.
Yeah, so I was a Christian school teacher for 6 years before I had my first child and decided to stay home with my children. And my sisters and sister-in-laws were homeschooling at the time. And so I kept sending them emails with, oh, check out this great website. Check out this website. And then I thought, well, that's silly. They're not going to search through their emails to find these websites all the time. So I should just put a website together with a list of all these great educational resources. And so that's how the website Teacher Gems started. It has a bunch of different websites that I found helpful in my teaching. And then
Awesome.
I've also been creating teaching resources. Since I left the classroom, I started creating my own resources and selling them on Teachers Pay Teachers and also my own website.
Yep, I noticed in the back of the workbook, you've got recommended resources, you've got books for further study, you've got books to read to your children, you've got YouTube channels, you've got videos, just a couple pages of recommended resources there. I see Ken Ham, Ray Comfort, Lee Strobel, Kirk Cameron. Way to go, Kelsey. So really quick, I want to go back. How did you connect? We've had Dran Reese on this podcast. I met her at a Liberty Pastors Conference. It was either the one in Texas or Oklahoma. Maybe she was at both. But I met her, and she's been on here. And of course, she's with bravesalt.com, the Salt and Light Council. You did a lecture last month on training godly warriors. I'm just curious, how did you connect with Dran Reese and the Salt and Light Council?
Yeah, so I'm actually the Salt and Light coordinator for our church, for the
Oh,
ministry at our church.
that figures.
And so I'm an affiliate with the Salt and Light Council. So
Okay.
that's how I met her. And yeah, she's wonderful. They have such a great ministry. If people don't know about the Salt and Light Council,
Yes.
it's a wonderful resource for your churches to get plugged in and to be able to start this ministry to help your congregations learn to be salt and light in the world. I highly recommend checking that out. They have I think they have monthly trainings as well, so you can do that and learn more
Yeah,
about it.
bravesalt.com. I got to get in touch with Dran again and get her back on. That says a lot about your pastor, and that he gets it, that Christians are supposed to do something Monday through Saturday outside of church walls to impact culture for Christ, impact the society around us for righteousness. Tell us about what's the name of your church? I know you're in Michigan. Just tell us your church and pastor.
Yeah, so I go to Georgetown Christian Fellowship. It's in Hudsonville, Michigan. Our pastor is Calvin Bergsma, and he's very involved with the Liberty Pastors of Michigan, and it's just awesome. We love it, and my husband and I are both precinct delegates, so we're involved with the political side of things as well.
Awesome.
But we know we need to be living out our faith in the public square as well. And we can't just be, you know, church Christians and not living it out in the world.
Yeah, we have Paul Blair on the podcast often. I've been to a couple of conferences there. That was in 2020, I think, when the world was going nuts with COVID and misinformation and the nonsense. Here we went and did a conference of Liberty Pastors, and it was kind of interesting. You go out in this outside of the hotel, you know, everyone's wearing their mask. You walk into the conference, where's all the masks? Anyway, so the hotel was very cool about that, by the way, in, I think, Grapevine, Texas. But anyway, we've got about a minute and a half here. Kelsey, I just want to give you, you're a busy mom, homeschool mom. You've got seven kids. You're doing a great job. I know it doesn't feel like it at times because you're just seems like you're just trying to keep up, as you mentioned, just remaining sane. But just encourage young parents, specifically moms, right now in however way you'd like in the last minute or so, please.
I would say the best thing you can do is to work on your personal relationship with the Lord. Make time with Him your daily priority. So for me, that looks like I read His word every morning on my phone before I get out of bed, before my kids can come interrupt me. They know it's mommy's quiet time. I just make it a priority. My husband and I are doing the read through the Bible in a year plan. And we do that every year together. And it's just so rich. We also do Bible study fellowship, which is a great international Bible study that people can check out as well.
Awesome. So friends, book and workbook, Training Godly Warriors. The website, traininggodlywarriors.com. Do you also, I know you're on Amazon too, right, Kelsey? Do you recommend people going there or your personal website?
Yeah, so they can go on the website on the shop page, and that'll take them directly to the link to buy the book on Amazon, or they can search for it on Amazon.
Okay. All right. Training Godly Warriors. Great topic. That's why I wanted to have you on. Thank you. I don't remember how we connected, but I'm so glad because this is so important. And I do see a movement of youth being more open to the gospel, more open to spiritual things. I think, you know, baby boomers and millennials kind of, I don't know, we missed something there, but the Gen Z and younger children, and it takes parents and, of course, the church in America to do this to get on board. Thanks for your time today, Kelsey.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.